but all his life he could play. I guess he was so busy working and taking care of the family and everything. But I went to church, and my mother sang, and her and I would sing in church together sometimes, sing duets. But every time we'd sing, she started shouting and popping me upside the head. So I said, she must want to whip me anyway. So she went to church to do it or something like that. And she ran away. So, yes, so I stopped singing duets with my mother. But I went to church, like the church I went to church with Walter Hawkins, Ed Hawkins, wow. Jermaine Hawkins, Sly Stone and his whole family, Freddie and them, Billy Preston, Andre Crouch, Sandra Crouch. So these are people like Odia Coates that sang Having My Baby with Paul Anka. You know, those are the kind of people that I grew up with, you know, and, you know, so it's kind of neat.
Who actually inspired, who stood out the most to actually influence you to say, okay, yeah, I want to go ahead and do this?
Sam Cooke would be the person.
Sam Cooke.
Because he was so handsome and he could sing, yeah. And you know, he had come from the gospel, and then he was, you know, everything you would read about him, he was a businessman, like he owned his own record company, which is kind of unheard of for even a white artist in that time.
Back in that day,
back
right?
Back in that day,
yeah.
Right. And then he owned his own publishing, which was really, you know, I mean, Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra, those people didn't even own their own publishing,
yeah.
You know. And so I always, you know, I just love, you know, love Sam Cooke. And I remember I was like about, I guess I was in the 11th grade, and I was waiting to catch the 14 bus one night. And I looked and I saw the headline said, Soul Singer Slain, and I saw that he had gotten killed. And I just like started crying and on the bus and just cried the whole way and the whole next day. I really admired him. But I remember when he died that, you know, they were saying he owned his own house and he had X amount of dollars in the bank. And it was like, you know, it was so refreshing because you would hear about all these people dying and they needed money to bury them, mm-hmm. and money to take care of their family. And,
yeah.
And I always said that, you know, well, I'd like to be an artist when I die. You know, I wouldn't need anybody to bury me or to take care of my family because I've done it myself.
Yeah, because you are a major household name. And speaking of which, when Mrs. Franklin got you started,
mm-hmm.
and you, the first time you went into the studio to record your first hit, your
mm-hmm.
first song,
right.
What was it? What was that song?
It was a song called Lisa's Gone, and I wrote it like when I was about 14. And I remember being in the studio, and we flew to L.A. to do the vocal, and I had never taken a flight before. And then I was in the room singing, and then I overheard them on the mic say that Lenny doesn't know, but he's going to have to fly back by himself. And it frightened me so much that I sang the song an octave higher. So the song was like, I'm weird, like Tiny Tim or something. And that record right now, if you have a copy of it, it's probably like $100 over there. I see it on for sale on the internet in England and places like that overseas in Japan, $150, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, if you have it, I don't know how many they made, but if anybody who has one, you can go to Japan, I mean, or go to England and finance your whole trip over there. Somebody might give you $200 to $300 for it.
Oh, my God. Go to England, okay?
Right. Yeah.
What is your creative process? You are a writer.
Mm-hmm, yes,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I wrote Cuss I Love You and there were a lot of different songs. But, I mean, the way I write is, you know, it's really interesting because I used to always say, well, I need to get a feeling.
Mm.
And then I started studying Motown, and they would, you know, they would have people and they would sit down like they were going to work. You know, you punch a clock and mm-hmm. you write.
Right.
You know, so it was cerebral, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, this is what you do, you're a writer and you write. And so I started trying to do that, and so I try to take that approach, and then I, you know, I mix it, you know, then I can get a feeling, like somebody, I might go by somebody's house, some of my musician friends, and we'll sit down and just start, you know, playing a couple of chords, and then if they bring out some kind of emotion in me, mm-hmm. then, you know, the words just start coming out, you know, mm-hmm. so somebody's like, ooh, just stay right there, just keep going back and forth between that. And then, you know, then you get that feeling that it just touches you, and then it's easy for the words to come out, you know. So I would say have a two-pronged approach, you know, to labor at it and to be cerebral, you know, to write because I am a writer, and also to write from a feeling or emotion and, mm. you know, something, you know, and from inspiration. So, you know.
Now the song, Cause I Love You,
mm-hmm.
where did that come from?
Well, I used to write with a friend of mine named Michael Bennett. We write all the time. And his dad used to do some work for me at my house. And he said, well, I got a young son that writes and plays piano. So we met. So I was explaining to him my theory about Motown. Let's write every day. You know, mm-hmm. So we'd write every day. So he came by the house you know, on a particular day to write. And I was like, I don't really feel like it today. She's like, why? And I said, no, I don't want to talk about it. He said, well, what? You know? And I was like, oh, me and my girl got into it, and I'm just like, I'm just depressed, and I'm just like, I just don't feel like it. He said, well, let's write about it, you know? And so I was being so cerebral and making it so much like a job that I kind of forgot about the, that you could, you know, write from passion, and you can write from a feeling and from an experience. And so we went in the room and just started writing, and bam, you know, that's where it came from. So then I started pulling in my experiences, and then I just listened to my friends talk, you know, about how, you know, they grow, you know, they get in with their girl, and then, you know, people always kind of think that guys are so tough, and, you know, we don't cry, or we don't have feelings, you know, and so just thought that I would, you know, try to incorporate that into the song, that, you know, the guys, you know, we may not do in front of our friends, but, you know, we go for a ride and cry, take a little walk, you know, go in the backyard and cry a little bit, you know.
When you first got started with writing,
mm-hmm.
when was that?
Well, I think I was like 13 or something. I used to like Georgia. I just love the way Ray Charles sang Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I wrote this song, Lisa's Gone, trying to cop that, you know.
So you actually wrote your first song?
Yeah, when I was about 13.
Oh, my gosh. So did Mr. Shacklin say, you got to write this? Or he just said, I want to write my own stuff.
Yeah, he just said, we're going to go to the studio. And then I sang it for him. He's like, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. He's like, yeah. I let him hear it. And it's been in my head since I was 13.
Get out of here. Now, did you ever go back to those days and say, okay, fine, I'm on stage right now. I want to take you back to where I was 14 years old, and I wrote this particular song, Lisa's Gone.
No.
Yeah, you've never played that song in one of your concerts?
No. I mean, what? I did years and years ago when it first came out, but now.
Why? Why?
I don't know. That's. I need to do that.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, just give me a little note.
I woke up this morning, Lisa was gone. She left me a letter, said she's going home. Said she won't be back, I won't be back no more. She said, Lenny, you know. Something like that. I can't remember all the words, but I was like 13, and I mean, what did I know about Lisa? I think I never even kissed a girl when I was 13. I was a late bloomer.
Well, you know what? That's okay. That's really okay.
Yes,
so this is something that my mom says.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know, so I've got to ask you this. In your song, it's actually a trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it come from?
You know what? I don't even know. People ask me that, and I try to listen to records that I've done and see when I started doing it. And I can't really remember when I first started doing it. I remember that I used to have some friends of mine that loved Otis Redding, and he would do some little staccato stuff. But it wasn't
Ooh, she may be weary. Young girls, they do get weary. I'm in the same old rocking track.
You know, so I used to, you know, listen to that. I never did really sing a lot of Otis' songs, but I was listening to it. So maybe, you know, so I listened to that. So I don't really know. You know, I used to like Billy Stewart. You know, he'd do the and stuff. You know,
yeah.
So I don't really know. I listen sometimes, and I listen when I was with Tower Power. I kind of did it a little bit, but not really.
Did you ever see yourself as a 14-year-old child? Did you ever visualize, I'm going to be a big star?
Well, you know, I kids dream. You know,
yeah.
You dream about things. But, yeah, I'll read some self-help books, you know, sometimes, like by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, or different books like that. And they always talk about how you have to, they study successful people, and they say, well, they dreamed and they visualized themselves. And, you know, but I remember being in school, and I would I was supposed to be doing my homework, and I'm making stars, and I got a whole paper with stars on it. But, I mean, reading that book made me think about that, you know. And then I remember that I would make dollar signs, you know, and I would just, you know, make dollar signs. And you know, consequently, instead of getting an A in class, I got a C because I was sitting up there doing, you know, doing that all the time. And so, because in these books, the theory is that if you think about it, or you write it, and you feel it, then it becomes you, and then subconsciously, you put it down in your mind and your soul, and then you wind up doing it. So what they try to teach people, I was doing, but nobody was teaching me to do this. It was just what I was doing. So in a way, I guess I was preparing myself for this unbeknownst, I mean, I did it naturally. Right. And I'm sure that the people that they talk about in the book, when they talk about J.C. Penney and Mr. So-and-so, you know, who went out and made fortunes with Rockefeller or something like that, they did it naturally, too. You know, they weren't sitting around doing a theory, but,
right.
You know, so in a way I did, but I didn't know that I was doing it, you know?